It was as small as I could make it, but I was trying to be a little boy, but just wanted to be a little boy about it. Okay. Okay. That's not making the cold open.
Oh, please keep it in there.
Okay.
La, 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 episode 312. Lorelai, out of water, sick pun paladinos. I guess it's cause of the fishing.
Yeah, it's probably because of the fishing.
It's definitely because of that.
I mean, it is not, we don't talk about titles a whole lot on the show, but.
That's all of the talking we do in the cold.
There's nothing, it's just, instead of fish out of water, it's Lorelai out of, like, there's no, it's not even a pun.
She's out of her element because she doesn't usually go fishing, but that's.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are the Gilmore Guys.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, thank you for joining us for another day, for another week. And Gillies, we got some wraps to do. We have
it's been a while. It's,
it has. It's been a bit since we've done the wraps. And we haven't neglected you. We thought of you. Long and hard over these last few episodes. We've held you in our hearts, and we want to give it up to the fans, because at the end of the day, do I have to say it?
Yeah.
It's all about the fans, and that's why we're here.
It's your catchphrase.
That's my catchphrase?
Yeah.
More than, hey, guys.
You say both of them, but one of them more often than the
it's
other.
It's true. I like to think my catchphrase is just like, hi, how's it going?
You do say that. Because
it's real
so you.
Unassuming, you know? Anyway. But we got to give it up. And I think we're going to need a little bit of help to do so. So you might hear not only my voice, not only Demi's voice, but a third voice.
A special guest, you could say?
A special guest with someone. I don't know. Let's drop that sick beat. Oh, my gosh.
Hell yeah. Oh,
boy.
You want to start this, Kevin?
Kind of. Emily, 4890. Thank you. Thank you. Don't you know that you're the best KXO love? You're like a dove. You fly in the sky so high with your fan love.
Gwendolita, she left a review, so thanks, Gwendolita. You're the sweetest that I can know. SG Atlantis fan. Is that a show? Stargate. I remember now.
Yep.
Good show. Thanks.
Lizzie Ritta, you're the bomb. Nick at 5598. Are you a mom? Mrs. Lunchmeat. Go to hell. No, don't. Megan Sanders, so. We love you, so.
Oh, Clerbur. That's hard to say because of the R in the club in a kind of weird way. There's Mara AK, AKA, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you about the pink superhero.
Good superhero. Just like glow stick 18. What happened to the other 17 glow sticks? Elizabeth Jones G. Hey, thanks for the review. Thanks for being you.
Hi, fan. We love you so. Broccoli B tastes so good on our toes. Terry D, you, the shit, man. H.M. Reed, we love you very much, fan.
Oh, Weller Mom, you are the bomb.com. Drunk Suki, I want to take a lookie. Yum, yum. That's what I say when I'm excited and I cannot hide it. Yeah. Sad face. 54. Oh, sorry, I interrupted you because I had one more. Rorlai Gilmo, don't you all know that you should review just like these fine folks do?
P.S. Mac, is that a public school? Like public school M-A-K? You know what I'm talking about? No, it's fine. Candy Can a Cane? That's the name if you say it wrong like I just did.
CP 2032, you're better than Krasika Lemons and Larab01.
Whoa, shots fired. Some people are better than others.
Your views suck. I'm kidding.
A little bit of reviews in our life.
Wow.
Oh, man, that was a rush.
That was.
That was a big time thrill. Guys, you've already heard her voice. Let's stop dilly-dallying around. And well, let me dilly-dally around for a second more and introduce our guest right now. La la.
Lapkus.
Well, of course, you know her from her own podcast with special guest Lauren Lapkus. You know her from Orange is the New Black. You will know her from Jurassic World. And you will know her from a new show on TBS this summer called Clipped. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ho-Ho the Elf. It's Tracy Reardon. It is Lauren Lapkus.
Hello. Hey.
Oh my gosh, that's a thrill.
We're terrific. How are you?
Oh, we're wonderful.
How are you?
We're great. Let's just keep it going.
How are you?
How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm okay.
Oh,
you want to talk about it?
No. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This
what
so fun.
A thrill. What a delight.
That rap was very fun for me.
I'm glad.
Do you get to not freestyle a lot in your own life?
No, I don't get the opportunity too much, but every once in a while I'm requested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on your business card. Well, Lauren, thank you so much. You're a podcast pro yourself, so.
Oh, well, thank you.
You kind of know the ins and outs of this. We don't need to break it down for you. Explain
it. I was born
it.
With these headphones on and next to a mic.
That's true. She came with her own headphones.
That's absolutely true. There.
I don't like germs.
What is your relationship with the show, with Gilmore Girls?
Well, I definitely watched it when I was younger. Like when it first came out, it was like around the Dawson's Creek era, which was. So it was perfect for me. That I was very into that. And so I remember watching it a bunch at home. I had my own little TV in my room, so I would like sit on a folding chair and watch like non-cable shows. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. But then I didn't really watch it for a long time. I had friends who were obsessed with it into college and stuff, but like that, I never really kept watching it. I've seen like random episodes here and there. And,
right.
But yeah, when I watched this episode, it brought it all back to me. I mean, I knew all the characters mm-hmm. and yeah, Luke.
I'm going to ask you at the top because it's not going to be relevant really to a lot of our conversation this episode, but did you watch all the way through, like here and there all the way through, like till the end of the series, or was it more... You piece out after a certain season.
Yeah, I definitely pieced out before. I mean, after the first few, like I probably had seen that episode. How many seasons were there?
There were seven.
Yeah, I probably had seen like I would say till like season four.
Okay.
Like maybe not all of it, but you know, scattered.
Okay, so would you say you're a team Dean or team Jess?
Oh, Dean. I never cared about Jess.
Why is that?
That's
interesting.
Know. I just thought. Well, I guess I just thought he was cuter, but. Yeah, I can't remember all the ins and outs of their relationship, but mm-hmm. I remember him and I remember liking him. Didn't he have more of a bowl cut?
In the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in season four, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, more of a bowl cut.
Really?
A little more of a, yeah, a
like
gay
that
beetle,
longer,
as Demetri
straight...
Martin would put it. Yeah, the longer straight thing. Not so much in these early seasons, but interesting. We don't get a lot of people that are Team Dean.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think most people gravitate towards Milo Ventimiglia.
He's cuter. He's more like a street rat,
yeah,
which I like.
If you're into it, yeah. A dirty little street rat. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's get into the episode discussion. This is episode 312, Lorelai Out of Water.
Lorelai Out of Water.
Or maybe she... thank you. Maybe it could be like a play on fish out of water. Maybe it's her... requesting at a restaurant.
We're out of water.
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah, it's a pretty weak title.
It's not great,
it's
man.
Not.
Little imagination went into that.
A little goes a long way, but not on this show. Just kidding. The
I
Netflix.
You're going to hit a sound effect.
Oh, don't worry. They're coming. The Netflix synopsis for this one is Lorelai gets an angling lesson from Luke.
God.
Before her fishing date with her new Bew. Bew?
Bow?
Bow. Oh, my gosh.
Kevin.
This is one of those times when you see, you read a word all your life, and then you say it out loud.
Well, I'm from Illinois, but when I read Illinois in my head, I say Illinois.
Illinois.
Even though I very much know that's not what it is. But I just do that.
Yeah. Well, we have solidarity in that.
Yeah.
We all say different words wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how I pronounce it.
The other half. Meanwhile, the political battle between Rory and Paris escalates. That makes
Paris.
It sound like they're running for office. You don't like Paris?
I hate Paris.
Paris is my favorite.
Paris is a bitch.
This is my favorite character.
She's a lovable B word, at least.
No.
I don't say that word because I'm a gentleman.
That's
but
so
I'll
nice.
Say it. She's a lovable bitch.
I don't like her. Every time she'd come on, I find her annoying.
This is breaking my heart.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I know. I relate to that more as a younger viewer. I found her to be more annoying and more grating when I was growing up watching it, because I've been a fan for a long time. Demi's watching it for the very first time.
Oh, interesting.
Through. And but coming back to it again, I find her to be utterly delightful.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, what's interesting is that I haven't watched it in so long that I immediately felt like all my old opinions I just was holding on to. So maybe I always hated her because if I were her age, I would hate her.
Oh, interesting.
And then so I was kind of just still feeling that as I watched it. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, that person, I hate her. Like, what, you know what I mean?
Lauren, what other feelings have you been holding on to?
Well,
since?
There's a lot of them.
Let's get into it. But before we do that, we'll do a little segment we do every episode called Pop
Goes
the
Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show and put them together in a little supercut and play them back and see what's up, see what's going on. So this is episode 312, Lorelai Out of Water, Pop Goes the Culture.
What do we do about the Batcave?
Guess Gloria Allred wants to go slum it.
It scared me while you stood by calmly like Dr. Doolittle chatting with the bat.
It's Jane Mansfield.
Not the brightest fish in the pond, but she's awfully pretty. Joe Namath will forever be wearing pantyhose.
I need a clean roll on the Toms, but powerful like Moon.
Cold, wet, and smelly. My three favorite things after those witches from Macbeth. It's like if Mozart walked right by the piano store and never played a note.
I'm good, Pamela DeBar.
Nixon's bad seed, daughter of Judas.
Wearing an Ozfest t-shirt, I believe. I wrote it on Powerpuff Girls stationery. Who do you think was setting him up? Hello Kitty?
Or Sanford and Son.
You like Smashing Pumpkins, and I don't. Save the act for Sundance, you little snitch.
I'm gonna go on inside. And right to Tipper.
Wow.
That's it?
That's it. It's pretty short. It's under a minute.
They all feel very pronounced, though. Like, save the act for Sundance, you know?
Oh, you mean like they make a point to make a real punchline out of them in this one?
Yeah, and I also feel like a lot of them were really big throwbacks for anyone, just as a pop culture reference. Mozart.
Right. Yeah. Mozart's a real way back. I know. It's just really become the references supercut.
No,
not
no,
so
but
much
it's
pop
still
culture.
True. But I like thinking of him as pop culture.
Yeah,
Macbeth, he's a musician.
Super pop.
Yeah,
you know,
Macbeth.
Kids are
MTV
into the
was
rock and
all
roll.
Backstreet Boys and Mozart.
Yeah, that's all I remember from the 90s. Yeah.
Do you think they're trying to be a little timeless with that by not mentioning something like Backstreet Boys or something like that? Those are like super old school.
Well,
things.
We
like,
found in different episodes that there's a lot of old school stuff. There's the weird, esoteric Oscar Levant stuff. And then there is NSYNC or 98 Degrees. That was one in like season one.
Yeah.
I feel like when they mention stuff that was more current for them at the time, though, they're kind of mentioning it like, oh, isn't this so dumb?
Like, yeah, they're like above it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're kind of turning a nose at it. Mm,
so the older they go back, the more it's like, this could be something we're into, or it could be something that time is sort of forgotten and we're making fun of that aspect of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Pamela DeBar, I did not know.
She was the groupie that wrote about her experiences of being a groupie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Fair enough. Oh, also in that garage scene, there was a Hug-A-World.
Yes, I remember those.
Okay.
So that's a real thing.
That's a real thing, because I was watching it actually with a friend of mine. We were like, wow, that was an interesting choice. And then I Googled it.
Oh, no, they're real.
And they're
my
real.
Friend had one. I feel like, I want to say that we had one, but I don't think that I did. I definitely had friends who had those. Those were just like a popular like pillow toy. It was like a map.
It was like a
globe.
It was a predecessor to the pillow pet.
Yeah.
But instead of an animal, it was the world.
You can learn.
Yeah, it was a little less educational than pillow pets, or more educational, rather.
You know, there was some part of that scene that really bothered me when they opened the garage, and they said they hadn't opened it since they moved there or something. Mm-hmm. But then 2 years ago, she put something in there, like something was going to happen. She said, I wish I could remember exactly what she said.
I know what you're saying. Like, the timelines didn't match.
Yeah, it was like, you said you never went in there, and then there's something that was from recently in there.
Right.
So
right.
How did it get in there?
You know, and that's the big mystery that the rest of the season actually unravels. It's kind of a jinx situation.
Such a good show. Oh my God, jinx. Incredible.
Actually, you know what? Let's... Who cares about Gilmore Girls? Let's talk about Jinx.
Jinx, guys.
Welcome to Jinx Boys.
The Jinxy gang. There's no alliteration that's
Wait, no,
the
there
chain.
Is. There's got to be.
The Jinx Jerks?
The
that's
Jinx
good,
Jerks,
X.
The Jinx Jamboree, the Jinx Junkies.
What are you looking at
the
right
thing
now?
That Shrug Lord made for us.
Oh, that's right.
Because I was so bad at making alliterations when we talk about other shows,
that we're
someone
all
made a chart that's like,
do.
Here, stop trying.
That's so funny.
The Dawson Dudes.
The Jinx Junkies.
Right.
Jinx Junkies.
Anyway. Guys, I think Fred Durst did it.
I don't think he did. No,
Fred Durst.
Fred Durst. He did it all for the Nookie.
No, Robert Durst didn't do it, but Fred Durst did. And for the Nookie. So this episode, Lauren, we were talking We were talking before you got here about how, like, undisputedly, A-plus cast, right? Undisputedly, though, this episode, not so A-plus.
It was kind of boring.
Right.
Like, I found myself texting during it, even though I wanted to pay attention.
Right.
But I feel like I wasn't missing anything at the same time. I was like, I still see what's happening. I'm following the story. I'm hearing everything. You know what I mean? It was one of those where it was like, I'm following along.
Just before you showed up, we rewatched the end of the episode because I felt like I was missing a lot of it. And as I was watching, I realized, no, I got all of this. It was just very much nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
real
maybe
Seinfeldian in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't know if we've mentioned it before on the podcast, but we've never mentioned it before, but no, a lot of people pointed out that both Scott Patterson and Lauren Graham did have guest star roles on that show. Not in the same episode.
Wait,
did we talk
who
about
was
that?
The first person?
Lauren Graham? No, Scott Patterson was Luke.
Oh, okay.
In this show had...
Oh, yeah. Who was he on? I'm picturing him as a... he's not...
On Seinfeld, he was the one Elaine was trying to decide was sponge-worthy or not.
Oh, big episode.
Big ep.
I don't remember Lauren Graham being
I remember her kind of, I think, but I can't think.
She was just one of the several hundred out-of-his-league women.
God, I mean,
dated.
Really.
Good grief.
Always has a beautiful woman that he's got a problem with.
It'd be funny to see the reverse on a show. Or it'd be at least be interesting.
What, a beautiful women dating sort of just average guys?
No, that's what that is. The opposite of that.
Oh, beautiful dudes dating average women.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That exists. I have to think. I feel like that's on...
Maybe girls?
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. I'm like, but even those guys are still kind of weird. Like, they're cool. I think they're very good looking. But, like, they're not your average, like, model.
Right. Not conventionally attractive.
Yeah.
This episode was written by Janet Leahy. Which is a name we hear again.
Leahy.
Leahy.
Because and direct, it's one of the characters' names.
Because it's Nicole Leahy, mm-hmm. Luke's new beau.
Oh, yes.
Directed by Jamie Babbitt as well, one of the mainstays of the directing stable of directors. The directing stable of directors on this show. Guys, it's thin. It's thin water.
Even like Luke's whole storyline was really boring, like with the construction. But right. He was trying to make it a really big deal.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Like with the woman that he was talking to, it took him forever to ask her out. I was like, are they building tension here or is he not? Is this not what is supposed to happen? And then he did ask her out and I was like, okay, but why didn't...
It takes so long that he has to say, oh, what the hell? And it was like, well, you're saying that on top of what you were going to tell her. Like, it was just this weird thing.
Oh, why not? Let's try it. Let's live a little for a day. And yeah, it just seemed... And Nicole, I guess we don't... We were talking about this in the previous episode, but anytime... Because obviously, like with the fishing scene and the teaching scene, it's like, oh, look at the tension here between Luke and Lorelai. So anytime you pair him with other people, you're really just treading water. You're just spinning your wheels. And if it's not interesting... If there's an interesting conflict, I find Christopher, Rory's... father.
Yeah.
That's an interesting conflict and that's loaded.
Yeah.
So I don't find that to be a waste of time. But when it's Sheriff Twilight and Lawyer Girl, who cares?
No, it really doesn't matter. You do want that tension between Lorelai and Luke, and I don't want to see Luke date anyone else, especially if it's not even meaningful. It's like he's just asking out some random girl. Like, I don't really care. I wonder, like, will that story continue or is that just for that one episode he asked someone out?
It continues, but the Sheriff Twilight doesn't really continue after this
one. Oh, yeah.
Because that's after Billy Burke exploded into stardom.
Is that really?
No.
Do you think that's why?
No. Yeah. But yeah, no, Nicole does recur after that. But yeah. Yeah. You know what? Let's give it up for Nicole. Shout out Stars Hollow to Nicole. But yeah, wheel spinning and it just feels tedious. The things I did like in this episode, the business with the band, I find to be very charming.
I liked the band. I liked the story with Lane and her dude and everything. I thought that was interesting. And her mom. Have you talked about her mom a lot on here?
We've talked about her mom a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's get into it.
What the accent's like? Really fake. Like
super fake.
I mean, crazy.
Right.
Almost. Like I just feel like it's almost.
Oh, you think it sounds fake?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Or do you mean like what are you saying? You're saying
the actress is doing an accent.
She is doing an accent. I do not believe it. I have a hard time.
Okay.
I mean, like I can understand having a strong accent, but I just felt like it wasn't consistent for me.
Oh, there's like certain words that she dropped.
I was just like, I'm not. I don't believe you.
The most unbelievable part of her accent for me is the way that, so her character is based so much in this forceful, like, why aren't you going to, like, that sort of a delivery. And even when she's calm, I feel like her doing the accent is her getting to that point where she has to, like, stutter every word as if she were angry. Just like, he's not Korean. And it's like, that's not how you would say it, like, if you're calm and doing that accent.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, you know what? You've convinced me. She sucks. I don't like this character anymore.
Did you like her before?
What if I just didn't want... No, I love her. I love her still, and I'll stick to my guns. But it would just be funny to be, like, very easily convinced by every point.
Like, wow.
You're right.
You're right. She's bad.
Yeah, she sucks.
This show is awful.
On the other hand, she is pretty good.
Yeah, okay, so the business with the band at the beginning, Hep Alien.
I loved it.
Yes.
I loved it, too. Because there are two...
I hear big butt, and
I was going to say, because there are two different things that are so weird in this scene, and the first is Zach hitting on Lorelai in this...
So weird!
This weird, like, sort of hands in pocket, just, like, trying to edge in on her, and it's like, oh, get away.
How old is he?
Yeah, that was another thing. I have no idea how old
he is. I was like, he's way younger than her. I was very confused, but then it seemed like, I guess he's an adult?
I want to play the Bizarre World Matthew McConaughey impression he does in this scene.
Okay. Lorelai. Okay.
That stuck out to me, too.
That's from the movie Disillusioned and Unfazed or something.
Yep, that's the one. Disillusioned and Unfazed.
That's
okay.
The Asylum.
Bizarre World.
It's okay.
That's the Asylum parody of Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, but that was super weird. That's not a thread that picks up later on or anything. They're not planting seeds here.
Yeah.
I don't understand the point of that.
I like that actor a lot, though. Todd Lowe.
Oh, okay.
He was on True Blood, and he was actually on Bunheads again, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bunheads, bringing it back.
RIP, pour one out for Bunheads.
Oh, my God. I liked the band, and I thought Adam Brody was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the faking to be mean to her, to get all the guys to, like...
That was a lovely device.
It was
cute. Yeah.
But then I also thought, like, why... That didn't really pay off at all, because, like, they were just going to go to prom together, and everyone would know they were together. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really see the point.
That's true.
Oh, wait a minute. that's an excellent point. Well, maybe they would say they were doing practice, or there was some other couple.
Yeah, they're dressing up for practice.
I genuinely didn't not get that they were trying to fake something at first, because, like, when Rory came over, I felt the same way she did. I was like, what, Lane?
He needs to chill.
I was like, why is he being so mean? Are they trying to make us hate Dave? And then when they were like, oh yeah, he's playing, I was like, oh, thank God, because I really liked him up to this point. And that happened, I was like, no, all the men on this show are idiots.
Oh boy. And he is so charming that even when he was chewing her out, I was like, you know what? He's got a point, kind of.
get in time, Lane.
You know what? You need to. They
you
always
need to be like Moon.
They always refer to Keith Moon. Like, I know they've mentioned other drummers like Neil Peart and blah blah blah, but Keith Moon is always. I feel like they've said Keith Moon in this show like 100 times, or at least by the end of it.
Yeah. Do they repeat a lot of the same references, like to be within
Definitely.
One world? I mean, they don't seem to be things that I can relate to or ever could. Like the things that they choose. Like, it's a very specific type of person who would be like, those are my references. Do you know what I mean? Like, because they speak so quickly and so intelligently, and they're just so whatever. Like, it's not even a person, really. Like, I don't know anyone like that.
Right.
But it's that world, and everyone is kind of in that.
You know, I've heard it both ways. I've heard it, but, like, no one talks like that. No one knows that many weird references. I know some people say, my friends and I are like that, which I think most of those people are overestimating how cultured their friends are with them. But, like, yeah, we say weird references all the time. And certainly, like, I could make a weird reference to the Paul Lynde Halloween special in 1979.
Sure.
And it's like, I'm a real person, right? You guys can vouch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he is real.
And I'm spectacular. But I don't... I do understand that, and it does... What we've talked about before on the show is that every character seems to have not the same voice per se, but the same reference pool.
Yes, definitely.
There's not a lot of people to say, oh, I don't know what that is. It's like...
Right. And Paris, I felt like, is very much like Rory in a weird way. I can't say the name Rory very confidently. It doesn't
roll out of my
mouth. Try it
again. Take a deep breath.
Rory.
That's great.
It sounds...
The rural juror.
It's really
tough. It's a little
tough.
Bit like that.
It's
yeah.
really tough for me.
Rory.
Rory.
Mm-hmm. Rory.
Rory. Yeah, this feels weird, but... I feel like Paris is very much like her, and maybe that's why they hate each other. But they're both very like, I'm quick, I'm speaking fast, and I can do this, and da-da-da, and like, I have direction.
Is it weird that Paris sells it more for me than Rory does?
It's not weird at all.
Okay.
That's her character.
Yeah,
I mean, she's
I
more
can
alpha.
Agree with that, actually.
And that's also a different performance choice.
Yeah.
by Eliza than Alexis, but we're on a first name basis, obviously.
You should be.
Yeah, I think so.
Alexis Bledel is very beautiful and charming, I will say, on the mm-hmm. show. Like, seeing her, she's so cute. Mm-hmm. Isn't she so cute?
Yeah.
She is. She's
you just
want
to hug her.
Yeah.
You just want to hug her like a little hugger world. Yeah. I'll say that much.
Yep.
And I don't know. I mean, it was kind of like the perfect role for her, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. We've all agreed. Let's end this podcast.
This has been
podcast done.
That's what you were trying to figure out this whole time. Was yeah, this a good role for her?
And we went on the Reddit, the subreddits, and
we were like, as soon as we figure it out, we don't have to do these episodes
anymore. Jury is in, guys. Let's talk about Alex. Alex is Sheriff Twilight.
Yeah.
It's Billy Burke. Special
baby
appearance.
Sandy Cohen. Yes.
Baby Sandy Cohen. That's another good name for him.
Or Adult Dean.
He is Adult Dean.
He looks so much like Dean, just taller.
I gotta say, though, guys, because they're trying to sell Lorelai's, oh, she's gonna learn fly fishing because he likes fly fishing, which, by the way, she would not do, I don't think.
This just doesn't say seem... you don't know.
Yeah, say like, you don't know and make that a cute thing, like, oh, you teach me. Because, like, oh, guess who could have had that really adorable, flirtatious scene? Billy Burke and Lorelai could have.
Right.
Too bad they are like two seniors who have fulfilled all their science requirements. They have no chemistry.
Oh, my God.
I was like, waiting to see where that was going to go.
I was very confused, and then I realized what was happening, and all at once my brain was like, no.
Slow motion.
But I was also still very much on board.
You couldn't jump in front of the bullet. But I'm correct, right?
Yeah.
They don't have any
chemistry.
There's no reason for her to go out with him and fake all this stuff.
Which is weird, because they're friends in real life. Billy Burke and Graham were friends.
I feel like you can tell when they have to write chemistry. Like the coffee scene, it didn't feel like...
Where she has 16 cups of espresso.
Yeah. You have to write it like they both like coffee. You know how much she likes coffee.
Do you watch Parenthood at all?
I've seen a good number
of it. I think it's interesting that she is she married to her brother on that? I mean, in real life,
they're
she's
dating.
Married, okay, dating the actor who plays mm-hmm. her brother, which I think is interesting. You said that she knows the other guy and they didn't have the chemistry on this show.
Right.
But she likes to know her scene partner. I just think it's interesting that she dates her own brother. I feel like that might be really weird and to act like that.
I don't know. We asked Michael C. Hall about it on our Dexter Dudes podcast.
Dexter Dudes.
I love Dexter.
Are those the two big examples of brother-sister dating IRL?
I think so.
Donnie Marie Osmond's another
well,
one.
Well, yeah, that's the opposite, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Right.
There's got to be one we're forgetting that I'm sure people will tell us.
Maybe the Brady kids had something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, for sure, right?
Probably.
I mean, you gotta.
You're on set. I mean, listen, you're an actress.
You're young. You're cute.
You know. You know how it goes. But yeah, it doesn't jive with the character of Lorelai, just like the independent, and how in love she is with her own quirkiness and how different she is than everybody else and how much of a shining little star that she... Why wouldn't you just say, no, not into fishing. I'm weird. Teach me or don't teach me.
She dug herself into a weird hole, and she admits that she could have, like, she admits that she just said that she was into fishing. But it is a weird thing of her not just backtracking, going like, "Oh, fishing? No."
What about when she brought the fish home?
Jane Mansfield.
Yes.
So weird.
That was so crazy.
That fish died. Immediately, like the next day on set.
Like, sure.
That take was the last frame ever.
Same for all the fish put in the kiddie pool.
Yeah.
They were giant, like, what were they?
Trout?
You know, you make me wanna.
Trout?
Yeah, there we go.
Put your hands.
Sorry,
up
I don't know. It's I'm having a bad day.
There's a part of
but
me
they
that
come
is
to
like,
you so fast.
It.
Yeah.
the scene. Okay, so there's that scene where we've referenced it before. Luke comes over. He brings a kiddie pool. He brings a bucket of trout. Where did he get the bucket of live trout? Who knows?
The kiddie pool is set up by the time she comes out, too.
Yeah, so he's been prepping this for a little bit.
It's been a freak in process.
Yeah, he's kind of obsessed with her.
Yeah.
He's camped over there overnight. That actually wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for Luke. But yeah, so they set it up. And they have that conversation like, oh, so who are you going? Go ahead.
By the way, every time they're outside, it's snowing. It looks like, I get the snow, like whiteness makes everything bright, but it looks crazy well lit.
I could not understand that it was snow in the first take or the first scene. I was very confused by what was going on in the background.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't believe it was winter ever.
No.
No.
It was thin at best. It was just like
summer
a little
on the
bit
WB lot.
It was like dandruff, and then it's like, you get it, it's winter. fill in the blank, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, that wasn't enough for
low
me.
Low skimping.
I love when it's snowing in the town and they go somewhere else and it's just like the streets are just kind of wet.
Yeah.
That's just how snow happens in the town.
Truly. So he teaches her how to fish and they have all that wrong sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
They do have chemistry. And they do in this scene, right?
Yeah, I think they always do. Like, anytime I see the two of them together, I'm like, when are they gonna hook up? Like, you just feel it.
Right.
And this was one, it's like they're almost on an every four episode schedule for this kind of moment. Because I think one of the last ones, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the last ones was at the dance marathon. Where they're talking about, like, he fixes her heel and he's like, so do you want kids?
Oh, yeah.
That classic segue into it.
And so it reminds me of children.
It's like every four episodes, there's this, so we're in love with each other, but no, we're not.
Right.
But there's no reason to not be together because they're both single.
The stakes were present in the first couple of seasons. There was Max Medina. There was Rachel in season one. And now... there's literally no reason at this point, other than like Jess was an obstacle at the end of season two, maybe, but not really.
I feel like at this point they're so used to not being with each other that it's kind of like this thing of they both assume that there's no reason for them to be together. But it's kind of, I mean, it's the opposite, but.
And Luke's probably more into Lorelai than Lorelai is to Luke.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's Mr. Piney Pinewoods, Pine Boy, right?
Pine Sol.
Yeah, he's Mr. Pine, so that's better. So, I mean, the scene I did like, that had one of my favorite cues in it, but the great Sam Phillips, friend of the show, the How to Dream melody. Maybe I'll play it over this part of the podcast.
Oh, that's so nice.
Is that, guys, oh, just listen to that melody.
Wow. Mm. How to dream.
How to dream. I know how to dream.
Dreaming's great and dreaming's fun.
Dream on, dream on. And then, okay, so there's all the Paris and Rory stuff in the episode. Headmaster Charles, just all the sniping and the cattiness at the, which, by the way, that teacher that's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
It was like conducting the little student government
that
board.
Of a teacher.
Yeah, he's who we've never seen before. And he's just, yeah.
He anyway. Let everything happen.
He did. The teachers of this school at Chilton, we see it in the last episode, too, with the fencing scene.
They're so passive.
They just let it happen. And where's Max? Like, he would have stepped in. He would have made a difference in a young person's life, I feel.
Max is the Coach Carter that this school needs.
Or the Coach Taylor that the school needs.
What's Coach Taylor?
Friday Night Lights.
I haven't seen it yet.
You're What's from
Coach
Texas.
Carter?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh.
He's from the inner city school.
That's more the fair question, I would say.
He comes from the inner city school, teaches those kids to play basketball, raises their spirit. It's a...
Sounds good.
Freedom Riders.
Is it like Hardball with Keanu Reeves?
It's exactly like Hardball, but Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
It's not a great movie.
I wouldn't assume.
The Paris-Rory conflict. So I didn't care about it when they were arguing and trying to get Rory impeached in the meeting. But then I really cared about it when they left the headmaster's office.
Mm-hmm.
So in the headmaster's office, it's really, like, it's frustrating to see them argue. And it's so funny to see her mumble, like, you would think it's about a boy, you sexist, white-haired, like.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
The faces she's making throughout that all are just, like, almost, like, the Grinch. Just her face is just snarling into this weird way. And then when they leave, Rory's trying to be like, yeah, huh, that is a bummer. I feel embarrassed that we were arguing.
She tries to find camaraderie and that shared experience they went through.
And Paris looks like she's going through the most troubling, like, PTSD moment of her life. She's just staring off in the distance, and then she's like, do you feel embarrassed about that? And she goes, no, and just walks off, like, storming. And it feels like it's going to be like, oh, what was she thinking about? What happens? Like, what happened to her? But that's the last we hear about it in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm just like, what was going on in her mind then?
Don't you want to hug Paris?
At all times.
She
definitely has problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's sadness.
I loved how the headmaster? He said...
Yeah. Charleston.
He said, are you mumbling? But, like... she was obviously mumbling.
It's the only sound in the room.
It was more just like, what are you saying is the question.
Yeah, if you think of them as being literally as far apart as we are right now, it's like,
are you mumbling?
Not next.
Yeah, I am. I said a bunch of mean stuff about you.
I called you sexist and
literally right now.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Madeline Louise, you know, I have a note down. Madeline Louise are talking about STDs. Did that happen? Why did I take down that note?
I don't remember that, but
I don't think that occurred.
It seems like they would be talking about that, so they probably were.
Yeah. Okay. That was from the scene where Paris goes into full McCarthy mode and calls for the impeachment of Rory Gilmore and all this stuff and Burner and blah, 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 blah.
Speaking of McCarthy, don't you think Melissa McCarthy has made an amazing career for herself when you look back at this?
She very much has.
I mean, that's incredible. Like, the way that her career went after this show. I mean, mm-hmm. That was a great role. I mean, and it was long-lasting, so that's awesome. But, like, you wouldn't expect her to just be, like, A-list.
You wouldn't expect it of the cast. She's the one that is.
She's the number one. Yeah. She's at the top.
Because it's also, like, not even a funny enough part. Like, she doesn't get a lot to play with in this part.
She has very small roles.
And she's so funny.
I would say there's more to... I mean, over the course of 7 seasons, there's a lot to play with. I think her stories aren't as big as they should be.
Right. Yeah.
But there's more... I see more shades of who Melissa McCarthy actually probably is in real life in this role.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, after seeing Bridesmaids and, Identity Theft and The Heat and blah, blah, blah. Like,
Yeah, I'm sure she's not like ball busting, falling on her face all the time.
Right. It's fun to like, to going back to it, it feels like almost a relief from that character in a way. Not that those characters aren't fun and interesting.
Right.
And they're on different ways, but this is like, it's like, oh, hey, how's it going, Melissa?
Yeah, very grounded.
You're lovely.
Yeah.
Very, very grounded and sweet in a way that none of her characters are now. Yeah. Or maybe in Spy. I haven't seen Spy, but I hear it's kind of like that. It's a little more grounded.
America can't stop talking about Spy.
The movie that hasn't come out yet. Yeah. I know I said I haven't seen it. Like, we've all seen
it,
but I haven't.
You could have seen it at a festival or something.
It's South by. South by.
Yeah. You were at South by, right?
I was, yeah.
How was
it? It was really fun. It was great. I had never been before to that festival.
Have you? You've been?
No.
Really?
Just Austin City Limits.
I used to go every year because we went to school in Austin.
We went to UT in Austin.
It's the most hectic week, but it's also like a really fun thing that you get tired from at like 3 in the afternoon. It's just too much.
Yeah, it was really fun, but...
Stimulus overload.
Definitely.
Yeah. Hmm.
Were you there for a movie?
No, I was just doing a bunch of comedy shows like improv and podcasts and random things. But it was fun.
Save the plugs for the end.
Okay. Please go listen to everything I did at South by Southwest on the internet.
The plugs again now. At Mr. Charleston, we talked about that. I did want to say in that scene, I know we talked about it before, but Lorelai says to Luke during the fishing scene, well, you don't want to hear about my personal life.
Yeah, he does.
And Luke just stares ahead. He doesn't say anything, though. Now, I know he does, but... Man, what I do like about this show and what also frustrates me about it, and same thing with Parenthood, is that all the conflict is communication issues.
Right. Yeah. Just tell them what you're thinking.
Right.
It'll be over.
Or if it's not tell them what you're thinking, it's communicate it in a way better that they might receive it. Like in the case of Emily and Lorelai. Oh, I got a from Lauren. That
I
was
like the way you phrased it.
I felt like
it.
A nice point. Yeah. Mm. It's changing a little bit. But overall, like, yeah, it's just a frustrating thing when there's no obstacles. And then later and when they have to be invented and even those feel kind of cheap. So Alex knows that Lorelai's never been fishing before. Did you like the part where Alex literally said, I'm not really a hobby guy? They were talking in that coffee scene. Like, are they trying to make him as boring as possible and not... He's a charismatic actor and other stuff, but, like, in this, he's very...
Yeah, he was very plain. I barely remember him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I watched it 2 days ago. I barely remember him. So I feel like that's a big thing.
Yeah, totally.
It's a big statement.
For an episode, in a way, like, all the stuff the character... Or all the stuff one of the characters is doing revolves around.
Yeah.
To not make an impression.
I think it also hurts that in this show... Every character is, in a way, like, they have their extreme moments. Like, the townies are all extreme, and then our main characters are, like, pretty grounded and then with extreme moments. So every time they introduce a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend, they introduce them in a way of, like, they should like them because they're so normal and this town's so crazy. But it's, like, that makes us not care about them at all.
Right.
Because I know they're not going to stay around. Mm-hmm. It's just, here, bring in the woman who looks like Gillian Anderson. She's gone next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, she looks like Gillian Anderson.
What about the, at the beginning, or I don't know if it was the beginning, but they were, when the construction men are like talking, were there twin construction men? Did you notice them?
Okay, this is interesting. There were not twin construction men, but what that is, that's Taylor Dosey, the town selectman, kind of the substitute mayor, basically, for all the towny stuff.
Yeah.
That's him. The other guy is Tom, but because I think they were both wearing hard hats and their beard colors.
They were the same.
They looked totally the same.
I could not tell them apart.
Even though Tom was the annoyed one saying, get away from my saw or
whatever. Yeah, he was like being
saying.
In charge or something, but I was like, they look like a mirror image of each other. Is that supposed to be a joke? Like, I couldn't tell what was happening.
It wasn't, and it was so distractingly close. It
looked
that
like
it was weird.
They look like the Seven Dwarfs because of how similar they
are. Totally. They are the little Seven Dwarfs of Stars Hollow. That was a funny scene. Well, should we get into the fashion report?
Oh, yeah. I have something to say.
Okay, let's do it.
Fashion.
So what was your first item?
The cat hat that Lane wore in the shop. I loved that. That was totally the kind of thing I would have wanted in middle school when this show was on for me. And I was like, I that brought me back immediately. First of all, I always wanted stuff like that. I wanted my mom at one point to make me this hat, and she almost did. I don't remember why it didn't happen. Where it was going to be a hat with two holes in it so I could put my own hair pom-poms in, like have two little buns. You know how that was like a style? And then it would stick out of the hat. That was my idea.
But it never came to pass?
It never did.
Oh.
That would be a hassle to take off all the time.
You'd leave it on. Yeah. You'd be like, it's a statement. But that cat hat was so perfect. Very like Delia's catalog. I don't know if that is a reference that you guys
Delia's catalog. I remember Delia's.
It was like a late 90s like cat, like girls fashion that would come in the mail, and they'd have like inflatable chairs you could purchase. Like it was before like Claire's and all those stores existed, really. Mm-hmm. So you just had to like order them by mail, and it was like cool jeans that teens wear. Like I don't know, it was just like, everything with like flowers on it, and that cat hat would definitely have been in there.
Well, if you have old copies of Delia's magazine and you want to send them to us or Lauren, you can email you can mail them to. Actually, no, I won't give the
yeah, let's not give away an address for people
don't
to
tell
mail.
Them where we are.
It'd be I'm going to put gunfire over this part so people don't know. It could be anywhere. It could be a lot of places. Just to throw people off the trail. They know there's bricks, at least.
Right.
But they don't know
there
anything
else.
There
could be any bricks.
Exactly.
Have we ever talked about the construction?
There's a lot of turtlenecks in this episode.
Mm.
And I wasn't digging any of them.
Yeah.
Alex was wearing one. That was no bueno.
Lorelai wears a turtleneck, like, once every other episode.
Does she? No.
I feel like she does.
No.
Yes.
I think you feel like it. I don't think that's true, though.
Maybe not, but I feel like I almost didn't write it down because I was like, why is she wearing a turtleneck? But I was like, I feel like she does this a lot.
Was she wearing it in this episode as
yeah.
well? Yeah. Oh, well, I noticed the one on, maybe it's just the dudes I was noticing on, but I noticed it on Alex. I noticed it on Kirk.
Dean has worn a turtleneck
Who's
at least
Kirk?
Once.
Kirk is
the guy at the beauty shop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sean Gunn.
He works at the
beauty
shop.
He's great.
Yeah, I love
it. He was like, tell me what you think about these lip glosses or whatever. Face masks.
So, because, okay, Kirk usually we see just fucking up everything. He's always, he's just a mess of a human being. He's
true.
Like if God spilled a person. But in this episode, they put him in the beauty store. And I think the joke is supposed to be like, oh, Kirk working at a beauty store because he can't get any other jobs. Cause he, like,
well, no, because he has a lot of jobs. That's the joke.
Does
more
he
than
have a lot of jobs or does he get fired from every job?
I take it to mean he has a lot of jobs because he works at the video store. He works for Al's Pancake World or the pie shop.
That's a funny little gag for
him. It's funny, and it does pay off, like, ultimately. Like, they do follow up on that reality later on in, like, season 5, I think. I don't think it's a matter of incompetency. I do think Kirk is competent.
Because I was going to say,
and I'll die on that hill.
The most competent I've ever seen him is at this store. He seems like he's doing a great job. There's no joke where he's ever like, oh, I don't know. I don't know anything about all this stuff. Like, he's doing a great
flawless
job.
Kirk,
he knew everything about the makeup they asked him about.
He sees it from a distance, goes, water resistant.
Yeah. Like,
and the display he makes with the hand.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, that's fun, isn't it? And it's just like a nice.
They were buying makeup for Lane's cousin who was getting married.
Yeah, the lady who was getting
married. But, like, why did they have to buy the makeup? I felt like that was, like, a lot for them. Like, weren't they buying it for her to put it on her?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
Especially because they said their Mrs. Kim has approved makeup that she uses. And they, like, were like, oh, it's gross.
Oh, you're saying why would they go through such lengths for someone that they're not terribly invested in? Or just the whole
or,
act
like, why
is
doesn't
weird?
She have her own makeup?
Yeah.
Or, like, or they're not makeup people, so, like, why are they in charge of buying it? I don't know.
The makeup entirely is like, why are they buying it? Why are they buying it at all?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I had a lot of questions. I felt like you could easily cut to them doing her makeup and I wouldn't ask, where did they get the makeup? How, you know what I mean? Like, you don't need the backstory for the makeup.
They truly probably just want to put Kirk in a scene.
Which then makes me happy
joke.
Because I like that. I think
then
that's
it was
funny.
It was
He's
worth
a good
it.
Dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Shane, nowhere to be found in that store.
She probably
just
got
his
fired.
Ex-girlfriend. You think?
She's terrible at her job.
Someone suggests on Twitter.
Twitter Q&A.
Or Twitter suggestions, I guess.
Who is Shane?
Shane was Jess's ex-girlfriend that he broke up with immediately when Dean broke up with Rory.
Oh.
Yeah.
He pretty she much was supposed to work her. There?
She worked. They did show a scene of that same beauty shop, and she was working there.
Yeah.
A different shift.
Oh.
Could be.
You know what? So the theory that this one listener had of Kirk murdering Shane so he could work there probably holds less water than it was probably just a different shift. That probably checks out.
I think they're both equally admissible.
Oh, yeah. I like the other one better, actually.
going to the Facebook Q&A, what do you think of Lorelai's explanation of why she can't go to the band's gig? She says she has a disorder where she can't.
She can't hear loud music, yet she's allowing them to practice on her property.
Oh, I think, wait a minute, I think I actually have a clip of this. Hang on.
The hollow tubey thing inside is very tiny, and it will literally explode if I listen to anything loud and musical.
That sucks.
That sucks.
That sucks. I think he's really, really good.
He's funny.
Yeah, he's funny.
And I think it's important to, like, dissect, because, you know, we don't just want to be glowing and flowery about every episode. Why did this episode not work so good, so well?
Well, mostly because there are no stakes of anything, and the only conflict that they
there's
go through...
There's not steak, but there's fish.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding. I feel like I'm faking the oh, my God, but I'm also just like, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But I do feel like all of the conflicts in this episode are conflicts brought on from previous episodes, and nothing is resolved. There's no resolution. It's all cliffhangers on Paris and Rory and Lane and Dave and the Lorelai story, which feels like it's the main story. I don't care about at all.
I will agree, because being someone who hasn't watched it in a while, I'm just watching this random episode. I was like, I do not care about any of the storylines. Like, mm-hmm. And I know that I could care. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? I could watch an episode of that and really be invested, but it just seemed like they were just kind of meandering around, just trying to like fill time or something.
Right.
Like the fishing story was not a big deal. She could have resolved it, like you said, like in one sentence. Lane's was the most interesting story for me. Like that she could run to date this guy and it was not going to go and blah blah blah. That was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And watching the wedding, the ceremony was like bizarre.
Mrs. Kim,
it was sad.
She gets up in the middle of like them about to do the I do's and like rubs the bride's face just to check
see
if the
makeup.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why she would care about that.
Didn't the bride seem really like resigned to getting married? Like she was not.
Yeah, it looked like a bad situation.
It wasn't good.
Yeah.
It wasn't good at all.
It looked like
there was a scene where Lane is talking about how everyone in the Kim family gets married for life, and they cut to the bride's face, and she looks like, I need to get out of here now. And nothing comes of that.
Yeah. I really thought there was going to be a scene where she like leaves him at the altar or something.
She gets cold feet or something.
Yeah, because that would have been cool.
Yeah, she looked miserable. It would have been
she
cool.
Was so
but talking about the whole Kim storyline, the one thing this scene, or this wasn't a great episode, but I feel like some of the saddest, like real world stuff happens because her whole "you're not Korean" thing is just, it's heartbreaking.
That's heavy.
It's so heavy.
Is it racist?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also like you understand that sort of old world traditional sort of viewpoint. Like I feel like I've had friends where that was like true for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, but yeah.
But it's also this thing of like the way that Miss Kim says he's not Korean is like, oh, come on, look, he's not Korean.
Like you should know that you can't date him or something.
Yeah. It's the end of the argument. She doesn't think like, oh, we're gonna talk about this later. She's like, oh, well, let me explain. He's not Korean.
Because it wasn't even said meanly, it was kind of said flatly. It was like
it was a
fact of life, like, oh, you can't date him, he's in prison. He's like, he's Korean.
Well, like Lane also gave herself up to it so easily. Like she was just like, now I'm going with this dude and like bye. I mean, maybe she felt bad. I mean, she did feel bad, but I feel like that was a weird thing. Like she just gave in to her mom so easily. Maybe that's true to Lane's character, though, that she would just...
They kind of frame her as a prisoner of her mom in most instances. But this is, I think, the first time in the show in 2.5 seasons that she actually stands up to her and says, no. No, I want to go with Dave.
She has a perfect plan, and that guy gets introduced. And she even, like, sort of weasels her way around it and says, like, I like Dave. And you kind of feel like she's going to come around. Mrs. Kim's going to be like, Dave is a good boy, maybe. But then she just drops the, he's not Korean, like, there's no discussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care how I feel about him. He's not Korean. And that's such a... Sorry, mic troubles. That's such a... I don't know. It feels like she gets to a high point and then is dropped so low in that one moment. It kind of... If I were the kind of person to be crying about the show, I would have cried there probably.
I didn't cry, though, and I cry about the show all the time.
You do.
I love that.
Kevin's emotional.
I think so.
I feel like I said that in a way that sounded like I'm like, oh, Kevin. But Kevin's emotional about the show.
I think it's good to get invested emotionally.
That is great.
It's great.
Certain things hit me weird, though. Like, I was crying watching Moulin Rouge the other day. I was like, is this a crime movie? I think parts of it are.
I think it can be, yeah.
I've never seen it.
That's my husband's favorite movie.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite movie when it came out.
He loves it.
Oh.
It's good.
But I think I was most invested in the Lane stuff because there seemed to be a certain amount of progress. Like you were saying, like nothing else progressed. There was no other reason to care. And I think there is a correlation between not like more is better and less is not as good, but the more you have towny flavor in the episode, Babette, Miss Patty, more of Tom. Tom was great in the little we
had. They're like the punch-up characters.
I mean, and it works, though, because you can throw them in whatever the situation is and those actors, and it's all great, and it does work. And when you take those away, even more so than like Richard and Emily stuff, because they can be frustrating, and they can have storylines that aren't as fun to watch. But with townies and just with like weird, random local color, it does work on that level a lot better as kind of a fixer for different scenes. Right. The way Kirk did. We all love that scene with Kirk. That was fine. Yeah. And that was like four lines.
Right.
And we have a lot to talk about it.
Yeah.
But it
brought
just
a lot to it.
It just seems like that to me seems like Gilmore Girls more so than like, oh, Lorelai's trying to fish for a man. That seems like that could be Everwood. That could be something else or this or that. That doesn't seem quintessentially Gilmore Girls. Or like with the band, that seems like Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's a tone thing too.
We never exited the fashion report.
We didn't. Do we have more items? Do you want to talk about Lorelai's fishing outfit?
Oh, yes, I do. That was the other thing that stood out to me was her hat that I hated. But I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be cute or if it was supposed to be funny or what it was supposed to be.
I feel like the hat alone might have been cute, but then it's like on top of all this sort of the joy of fishing, like, instructional DVD outfit.
It was ridiculous considering we all knew she was just going out to her own yard by a kiddie pool. You don't need to wear everything. Just wear your regular clothes.
Although it probably would have been worse if we saw it all for the first time when Billy Burke comes to pick her up.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe she was trying to subconsciously entice Luke, though.
Entice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, entice. Not charm. Entice with the outfit.
Well,
with
she
the
looked
outfit.
So sexy.
Well, I mean, guys, listen.
That blue Paddington hat.
Not to get too personal, but... Oh, and then, of course, Lane's big bow dress at the wedding.
Yeah.
Why can't I
horror.
Think of what that was?
That was the one where Dave... where Adam Brody was like, I love seeing you go to see that bow or something like that.
Did he say that?
No. Or he said something about looking at that bow.
I just remember
I don't think he said
her
it in
walking
a weird
up the stairs
couplet.
And like noticing that
yeah,
he's watching.
Yeah, backing up like this instead of just going up the other way.
I don't know why I can't think of the dress.
It's purplish.
It's purplish. It's almost like satin. Yeah. Or actually, no, it looks like velvet, actually.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it looked like a delight. So I guess that's been the fashion report. Oh, you know what? I actually did like Lorelai's newsboy's cap.
Can I Def Jam one of these?
Yeah, Def Jam one of them.
Yo, what is up with Sookie's shirt? Looking like a Spanish flamenco guitarist.
Oh.
What's up with all those red patterns with the weird swirls? Like if Zach Braff in Garden State's bathroom was covered in red.
Wait, which scene was this?
In the kitchen. She's got that weird shirt that's like all these like Spanish flamenco patterns.
Oh, wait, I don't remember that shirt at all.
We'll pull it up later.
Okay.
It was wild.
Right. Oh, dang, that's been the fashion report.
Fashion.
I don't know if there's much more to talk about this episode.
There was a very funny line when Miss Kim burst into the room.
Oh.
When they're doing the makeup.
Yeah, when Rory fell off the chair.
Yeah.
Oh, I
what's
fell
going
down.
On in here?
I fell off my chair. Oh, well, don't.
That was great.
That was good.
That was lovely.
Yeah. I love when Miss Kim bursts into a room and she's always just paranoid. Like, what have you guys been doing in here? It's like, what do you think they're doing in there? You're about to have a wedding? Like, do you think they're just smoking weed upstairs or something?
I think she, like, has the most high-stress life ever and nothing's happening.
Nothing
She has nothing
happens.
To be afraid of. Her daughter's a little nerd. She's not doing anything.
Her daughter's a little nerd. Her husband is gone forever for reasons passing understanding.
Her husband's just never there.
Yeah,
she does have an husband.
Yeah.
But... where is he?
Yeah,
I like to believe that he's in any of the family scenes. You just don't know which. Like, if you were to watch, like, no, not in a racist way.
I know,
like, if
I know.
You were to make a supercut, you'd be like, oh, that guy's in every scene. That
extra.
Must be the husband.
Yeah.
But it's just never point him out. Why?
That'd be crazy if, like, Amy Sherman-Palladino did reveal that, like, actually, this was Mr. Kim. And it was, like, a background extra that was
that
there in
so
all the big
amazing.
Like, all the big family scenes.
If she got to do season 7, she would have revealed Mr. Kim, and he would have said the last four lines.
And
supposedly. Oh, my God, if it were Kirk.
The last four lines. If Mr. Kim had the last four lines of the show, because as the legend goes, Amy Sherman-Palladino left the show at the end of season 6. She had the finale in mind the whole time. She had the last 4 words in mind the whole time, but she never got to finish it out.
Why?
So we still don't know what it is. Why? It was like contract negotiation stuff. It wasn't money per se, but it was just hiring more crew.
But they did a 7th season?
They did a 7th season
without
her, and
so you
them.
Don't know what her version would have been.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Which is the true version.
I maintain that the last 4 words would have been like, "We're the Gilmore Girls." That's what it should have been.
Credits.
Yeah.
We're the Gilmore Girls. Or how about, "Hey, more coffee, please." That could be one.
It probably would have been something like that.
What's your pitch?
"Hey, Mom, what's up?"
Cliffhanger.
Cut to black.
I like that one.
Don't Stop Believing plays over the credits.
Don't stop. Yeah. Any other stray observations before we rate the app?
Lane says something at one moment where she's talking about why she doesn't like Jess, and she says, "I don't like Jess because I'm very protective of you."
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in that moment, Lane is kind of what we've been feeling, and Rory is the antithesis of saying, like,
right,
look, try to like Jess.
Because
now.
Jess is a big bag of garbage,
he
as
is,
we all know.
He's the worst. He's
I mean, even in this, you know what I did like? What I actually did like in this one is that he was giving Luke a little bit of shit for asking out Nicole in like a nice, just kind of generally playful way, like you would do with anyone.
Right.
Rory said that she, sorry, I'm stuttering. She couldn't go to the wedding because he wouldn't go or whatever.
Like, he's not a reception type guy.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's not a do anything kind of guy.
What
she
kind
asks
of guy
him
is
to
she?
Go to the festival with him in one of these episodes after they're done making out. And he's just like, "I don't know if that's my scene." Like, he really just wants to make out with her.
He wants to. Here's the 3 things we know. He wants to make out with her. He's very attractive. And he reads books, too.
What?
Those are the 3 things, and he loves
those
pranks
are all
and
positive.
I mean, I'm listening, but it doesn't add up for me. Do you think that Luke's asking out Nicole is a direct reaction of the Alex thing of Lorelai being with Alex?
I think so, because I don't think he really cared about her at all. Like, it just seemed like he wanted to just ask someone out.
Yeah, if they had framed it in a different way. That wasn't him asking her out directly after learning that Lorelai is about to go on a date. I feel like it would have come off differently, but they did that on purpose.
One note I had is at the first scene at Mrs. Kim's, like before the wedding, and she's going through and checking things out. She'd have that line, "Looks great, not so fat," and talking about one of her friend or one of the other family members. And then Dave comes into play, which they play Ave Maria. But it's a Seventh-day Adventist wedding. I don't know. It seemed like a weird song choice.
It did seem out of line with what was going on.
Right? Like it didn't.
Yeah.
But not a traditional song for what seemed to be an arranged marriage, very traditional.
There's something dark happening. I think you're right. I think there's something super weird and dark
it was
going
really
on
weird.
Here.
Something's
and I felt like it was weird that he played guitar with a singer. Like it just seemed like they just wanted him to do it on the show, but like it didn't seem like Mrs. Kim would really have him do that.
Right. It almost seemed like they were setting it up like the way you would for like a musical guest on a show.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, let's have him play the song. But it's just Adam Brody. It's not like a musical guest. So he plays and she says to Dave, "Watch your high note. She's a runner." That was one of the lines that I found to be delightful. And it was kind of, I'll tease this out right now, it was our first glimpse into a little bit of a different side of Mrs. Kim. That we might see in future episodes.
A dark side?
No, just a different one.
Murderer. Cool.
Yeah, murderer. Lauren's correct. Yeah, so I think that's it. I think we can just go around the horn and rate the ep.
Let's
do it. So I was real whatever about this ep. There were certain things to like about it, all the band stuff, Kirk, but even Paris Rory stuff and certainly Alex and Lorelai stuff, who cares? So I'm giving it 5 out of 10 makeup hand models at the cash register.
I was thinking that too. I agree. Not much happens in this episode. I really hate how they underscored so many of the conflicts that would have made, like if they cut out the Rory and Paris conflict or just moved it back one episode to when it was relevant, I feel like that would have made more sense. This is just the aftermath of them fighting. But it feels like they're spreading it over 3 episodes. Like there's probably going to be a resolution to that conflict in the next episode, whereas they should have just made it either split it so it's resolution or conflict resolution, but not conflict middle ground resolution, because I don't care about what happened between them in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the Miss Kim storyline just because it made me feel like something had kind of made it didn't make Mrs. Kim the enemy per se. It just kind of set up like, look, she has this old school way of thinking, and it's not...
Not even old school, old world.
Old world, sorry, yeah. Way of thinking.
Where there were no schools.
Back when kids just used to gather around a well and pump water.
That's right.
But it bummed me out, and it was very real world, and it felt like they were coming out of this show, of like this wacky world where Mrs. Kim's this crazy Korean lady, and having it be this real thing of like, she is very old world Korean. She wants to keep everything in the family. That was the only storyline I cared about, though, so I'm going to give this 5 out of 10 bear hats.
Bear hats.
Or cat hats.
Cat hats.
Yeah.
For me, it was fun to revisit this show and to go back into the world of the show. But I will say that it wasn't as compelling as I needed it to be. You know, I was going to use a cat hat scale as well, but I'm going No, it's okay. But I'm going to switch it up, and I'm going to give this 4 out of 10 arranged marriages.
We both gave you a grunt of approval on that one. In agreement. All right, well, now it's time for a segment we call
Where You Tweet, I Will Follow.
Cute.
Lauren, where can we find you?
At Lauren Lapkus. And I have a few other accounts that I don't run but are important to me for some reason.
People you know.
Well, yeah, people I know. At Tracy Reardon, TRACIREARDON. And Ho Ho the Elf has a Twitter at Ho Ho Elf Blech, BLECH. So go find them. And I don't know why you would like to follow them, but do it.
You should follow them.
Yeah, follow them.
They're real interesting characters. They tweet
Tracy's
out some good stuff.
Tracy's got some quips.
Yeah, she has got a lot of quips.
A lot of sentiments.
Mm-hmm. Ho Ho's got a good retweet game.
Oh, really?
That's what I found. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're really good. He, she, thing. And then you have a podcast of your own.
I do have my own podcast called with special guest Lauren Lapkus on the Earwolf Network. You can find it on iTunes and on earwolf.com.
And it comes out every Friday?
Every Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm always the guest, and my guest is always the host, and they decide what the show is, and they decide who my character is, and I don't know anything in advance, so it's really fun.
That's so fun. Is it scary, giving someone else that much control?
A little bit, but I really like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, you can find me at Kevin T. Porter on all this stuff. And there's a podcast I've been working on recently called Gilmore Guys.
Sick.
Yeah. And it's all right. Like, we're still figuring things out. Like, there's a lot of audio issues. And sometimes we screw up and give really amazing guests really whatever episodes. But overall, I believe in what we're doing. So you can find that. That comes out every Monday and Wednesday. You can find it on iTunes and SoundCloud.
You can find me at Electrolemon on most things. I don't have any podcasts I'm working on, but I have been listening to this one cool podcast where these dudes go through Gilmore Girls. They call it Gilmore Guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what episode they're on right now, but it's been pretty chill. One thing I hate is that they give really great guests really blah episodes.
Yeah.
But besides that,
blah blah,
pretty solid show.
Hmm. Cool. So that listen to Gilmore Guys.
Gillies? You should listen to that.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Lauren,
you'd love it, Kevin.
I'm not really into it that much. It's a chick show, right?
Yeah.
It's like Dawson's Creek, but even more for ladies, right? It's like, shopping, right? Lauren, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This
has
so
been
fun.
Such a delight. And you grew up on the show a little bit, so you know the theme song.
Oh, I know it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know it, so you know what we do at this point.
Yeah.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely, and so cold, all you have to do is call my name, and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow. Anywhere that you tell me to, if you need, you need me to be with you, I will follow. Oh, ho, ho! Where you lead, I will follow. Anywhere that you tell me to, if you need, you need me to be with you. with you, I will follow.
Oh,
where you lead.
Oh, oh, let's keep doing it. Where you lead. No, let's do it.
I will follow.
Acapella.
Anywhere that you tell me to. If you need, me to be with you, I will follow.
Oh,
where you lead.
I almost did it again. Oopsie.
I like that song.
Goodbye.
I would have gone into an infinite loop of singing it. Whatever.